the progress of a light patch among the clouds. He knelt in the water and looked round. "Where's everybody?" Piggy sat up.
"Perhaps they're lying in the shelter."
"Where's Sam Narrick and Bill?" Piggy pointed beyond the platform.
"That's where they've gone. Jack's party."
"Let them go," said Ralph uneasily. "I don't care."
"Just for some meat."
"And for hunting," said Ralph wisely. "And for pretending to be a tribe and putting on war paint." Piggy stirred the sand underwater and did not look at Ralph.
"Perhaps we ought to go too."
Ralph looked at him quickly and Piggy blushed.
"I mean, to make sure nothing happens."
Ralph squirted water again. Long before Ralph and Piggy came up with Jack's lot, they could hear the party. There was a stretch of grass in a place where the palms left a wide band of turf between the forest and the shore. Just one step down from the edge of the turf was the white, blown sand of above high water, warm, dry, trodden. Below that again was a rock that stretched away towards the lagoon. Beyond was a short stretch of sand, and then the edge of the water. A fire burned on a rock, and fat dripped from the roasting pig meat into the invisible flames. All the boys of the island, except Piggy, Ralph, Simon, and the two tending the pig, were grouped on the turf. They were laughing, singing, lying, squatting, or standing on the grass, holding food in their hands. But to judge by the greasy faces, the meat-eating was almost done, and some held coconut shells in their hands and were drinking from them. Before the party had started, a great log had been dragged into the centre of the lawn, and Jack, painted and garlanded, sat there like an idol. There were piles of meat on green leaves near him, and fruit, and coconut shells full of drink. Piggy and Ralph came to the edge of the grassy platform, and the boys, as they noticed them, fell silent one by one, till only the boy next to Jack was talking. Then the silence intruded even there, and Jack turned where he sat. For a time he looked at them, and the crackle of the fire was the loudest noise over the bourdon of the reef. Ralph looked away, and Sam, thinking that Ralph had turned to him accusingly, put down his gnawed bone with a nervous giggle. Ralph took an uncertain step, pointed to a palm tree, and whispered something inaudible to Piggy, and they both giggled like Sam. Lifting his feet high out of the sand, Ralph started to stroll past. Piggy tried to whistle. At this moment, the boys who were cooking at the fire suddenly hauled off a great chunk of meat and ran with it towards the grass. They bumped Piggy, who was burnt, and yelled and danced. Immediately, Ralph and the crowd of boys were united and relieved by a storm of laughter. Piggy once more was the centre of social derision, so that everyone felt cheerful and normal. Jack stood up and waved his spear.
"Take them some meat."
The boys with the spit gave Ralph and Piggy each a succulent chunk. They took the gift, dribbling. So they stood and ate beneath a sky of thunderous brass that rang with the storm coming. Jack waved his spear again.
"Has everybody eaten as much as they want?"
There was still food left, sizzling on the wooden spits, heaped on the green platters. Betrayed by his stomach, Piggy threw a picked bone down on the beach and stooped for more. Jack spoke again, impatiently.
"Has everybody eaten as much as they want?"
His tone conveyed a warning, given out of the pride of ownership, and the boys ate faster while there was still time. Seeing there was no immediate likelihood of pause, Jack rose from the log that was his throne and sauntered to the edge of the grass. He looked down from behind his paint at Ralph and Piggy. They moved a little further off over the sand, and Ralph watched the fire as he ate. He noticed, without understanding, how the flames were visible now against the dull light. Evening was come, not with calm beauty, but with the threat of violence. Jack spoke. "Give me a drink." Henry brought him a shell, and he drank, watching Piggy and Ralph over the jagged rim. Power lay in the brown swell of his forearms. Authority sat on his shoulder and chattered in his ear like an ape.
"All sit down."
The boys ranged themselves in rows on the grass before him, but Ralph and Piggy stayed a foot lower, standing on the soft sand. Jack ignored them for a moment, turned his mask down to the seated boys, and pointed at them with the spear.
"Who is going to join my tribe?"
Ralph made a sudden movement that became a stumble. Some of the boys turned towards him.
"I gave you food," said Jack, "and my hunters will protect you from the beast. Who will join my tribe?"
"I'm chief," said Ralph, "because you chose me, and we were going to keep the fire going. Now you run after food."
"You ran yourself," shouted Jack. "Look at that bone in your hands."
Ralph went crimson.
"I said you were hunters. That was your job."
Jack ignored him again.
"Who'll join my tribe and have fun?"
"I'm chief," said Ralph tremulously. "And what about the fire? And I've got the conch."
"You haven't got it with you," said Jack, sneering. "You left it behind. See? Clever. And the conch doesn't count at this end of the island."
All at once the thunder struck. Instead of the dull boom, there was a point of impact in the explosion.
"The conch counts here too," said Ralph, "and all over the island."
"What are you going to do about it then?"
Ralph examined the ranks of boys. There was no help in them, and he looked away, confused and sweating. Piggy whispered,
"The fire. Rescue."
"Who'll join my tribe?"
"I will. Me. I will.
I'll blow the conch," said Ralph breathlessly, "and call an assembly."
"We shan't hear it."
Piggy touched Ralph's wrist.
"Come away. There's going to be trouble. And we've had our meat."
There was a blink of bright light beyond the forest, and the thunder exploded again so that a little one started to whine. Big drops of rain fell among them, making individual sounds when they struck.
"Going to be a storm," said Ralph, "and you'll have rain like when we dropped here. Who's clever now? Where are your shelters? What are you going to do about that?"
The hunters were looking uneasily at the sky, flinching from the stroke of the drops. A wave of restlessness set the boys swaying and moving aimlessly. The flickering light became brighter, and the blows of the thunder were only just bearable. The little ones began to run about, screaming. Jack leapt onto the sand.
"Do our dance! Come on, dance!"
He ran, stumbling through the thick sand, to the open space of rock beyond the fire. Between the flashes of lightning, the air was dark and terrible, and the boys followed him clamorously. Roger became the pig, grunting and charging at Jack, who sidestepped. The hunters took their spears, the cooks took spits, and the rest clubs of firewood. While Roger mimed the terror of the pig, the little uns ran and jumped on the outside of the circle. Piggy and Ralph, under the threat of the sky, found themselves eager to take a place in this demented but partly secure society. They were glad to touch the brown backs of the fence that hemmed in the terror and made it governable.
"Kill the beast! Cut his throat! Spill his blood!"
The movement became regular, while the chant lost its first superficial excitement and began to beat like a steady pulse. Roger ceased to be a pig and became a hunter, so that the centre of the ring yawned emptily. Some of the little ones started a ring on their own, and the complementary circles went round and round, as though repetition would achieve safety of itself. There was the throb and stamp of a single organism. The dark sky was shattered by a blue-white scar. An instant later, The noise was on them like the blow of a gigantic whip. The chant rose a tone in agony.
Kill the beast! Cut his throat! Spill his blood!
Now, out of the terror, rose another desire, thick, urgent, blind.
Kill the beast! Cut his throat! Spill his blood!
Again the blue-white scar jagged above them, and the sulphurous explosion beat down. The little un screamed and blundered about, fleeing from the edge of the forest, and one of them broke the ring of big uns in his terror.
Him! Him!
The circle became a horseshoe. A thing was crawling out of the forest. It came darkly, uncertainly. The shrill screaming that rose before the beast was like a pain. The beast stumbled into the horseshoe.
Kill the beast! Cut his throat! Spill his blood!
The blue-white scar was constant, the noise unendurable. Simon was crying out something about a dead man on a hill.
Kill the beast! Cut his throat! Spill his blood! Do him in!
The sticks fell, and the mouth of the new circle crunched and screamed. The beast was on its knees in the centre, its arms folded over its face. It was crying out against the abominable noise, something about a body on the hill. The beast struggled forward, broke the ring, and fell over the steep edge of the rock to the sand by the water. At once the crowd surged after it, poured down the rock, leapt onto the beast, screamed, struck, bit, tore. There were no words and no movements, but the tearing of teeth and claws. Then the clouds opened and let down the rain like a waterfall. The water bounded from the mountaintop, tore leaves and branches from the trees, poured like a cold shower over the struggling heap on the sand. Presently the heap broke up, and figures staggered away. Only the beast lay still, a few yards from the sea. Even in the rain they could see how small a beast it was, and already its blood was staining the sand. Now a great wind blew the rain sideways, cascading the water from the forest trees. On the mountaintop, the parachute filled and moved. The figure slid, rose to its feet, spun, swayed down through a vastness of wet air, and trod with ungainly feet the tops of the high trees, falling. Still falling, it sank towards the beach, and the boys rushed screaming into the darkness. The parachute took the figure forward, furrowing the lagoon, and bumped it over the reef and out to sea. Towards midnight, the rain ceased, and the clouds drifted away so that the sky was scattered once more with the incredible lamps of stars. Then the breeze died too, and there was no noise save the drip and trickle of water that ran out of clefts and spilled down leaf by leaf to the brown earth of the island. The air was cool, moist and clear, and presently even the sound of the water was still. The beast lay huddled on the pale beach, and the stains spread, inch by inch. The edge of the lagoon became a streak of phosphorescence, which advanced minutely as the great wave of the tide flowed. The clear water mirrored the clear sky and the angular, bright constellations. The line of phosphorescence bulged about the sand grains and the little pebbles. It held them each in a dimple of tension, then suddenly accepted them with an inaudible syllable and moved on. Along the shoreward edge of the shallows, the advancing clearness was full of strange moonbeam-bodied creatures with fiery eyes. Here and there a larger pebble clung to its own air and was covered with a coat of pearls. The tide swelled in over the rain-pitted sand and smoothed everything with a layer of silver. Now it touched the first of the stains that seeped from the broken body, and the creatures made a moving patch of light as they gathered at the edge. The water rose further and dressed Simon's coarse hair with brightness. The line of his cheek silvered, and the turn of his shoulder became sculptured marble. The strange attendant creatures, with their fiery eyes and trailing vapours, busied themselves round his head. The body lifted a fraction of an inch from the sand, and a bubble of air escaped from the mouth with a wet plop. Then it turned gently in the water. Somewhere, over the darkened curve of the world, the sun and moon were pulling, and the film of water on the Earth planet was held, bulging slightly on one side, while the solid core turned. The great wave of the tide moved further along the island, and the water lifted. Softly, surrounded by a fringe of inquisitive, bright creatures, itself a silver shape beneath the steadfast constellations, Simon's dead body moved out towards the open sea. Chapter 10. The Shell and the Glasses. Piggy eyed the advancing figure carefully. Nowadays he sometimes found that he saw more clearly if he removed his glasses and shifted the one lens to the other eye. But even through the good eye, after what had happened, Ralph remained unmistakably Ralph. He came now out of the coconut trees, limping, dirty, with dead leaves hanging from his shock of yellow hair. One eye was a slit in his puffy cheek, and a great scab had formed on his right knee. He paused for a moment and peered at the figure on the platform. "Piggy, are you the only one left?"
"There's some little ones."
"They don't count. No big uns."
"Oh, Sam Narrick. They're collecting wood."
"Nobody else?"
"Not that I know of."
Ralph climbed onto the platform carefully. The coarse grass was still worn away where the assembly used to sit. The fragile white conch still gleamed by the polished seat. Ralph sat down in the grass facing the chief's seat and the conch. Piggy knelt at his left. And for a long minute there was silence. At last Ralph cleared his throat and whispered something. Piggy whispered back.
"What did you say?"
Ralph spoke up. "Simon." Piggy said nothing but nodded solemnly. They continued to sit, gazing with impaired sight at the chief's seat and the glittering lagoon. The green light and the glossy patches of sunshine played over their befouled bodies. At length Ralph got up and went to the conch. He took the shell caressingly with both hands and knelt, leaning against the trunk. "Piggy."
"Hmm?"
"What are we going to do?" Piggy nodded at the conch.
"You could call an assembly."
Ralph laughed sharply as he said the word, and Piggy frowned.
"You're still chief."
Ralph laughed again.
"No, you are, over us."
"I got the conch."
"Ralph, stop laughing like that. Look, there ain't no need, Ralph. What's the others going to think?"
At last, Ralph stopped. He was shivering. "Piggy."
"Hmm?"
"That was Simon."
"You said that before."
"Piggy."
"Hmm?"
"That was murder."
"You stop it," said Piggy shrilly. "What good are you doing talking like that?"
He jumped to his feet and stood over Ralph.
"It was dark. There was that bloody dance. There was lightning and thunder and rain. We were scared."
"I wasn't scared," said Ralph slowly. I don't know what I was."
"We were scared," said Piggy excitedly. "Anything might have happened. It wasn't what you said."
He was gesticulating, searching for a formula. "Oh, Piggy." Ralph's voice, low and stricken, stopped Piggy's gestures. He bent down and waited. Ralph, cradling the conch, rocked himself to and fro.
"Don't you understand, Piggy? The things we did...
He may still be... No. Perhaps he was only pretending."
Piggy's voice tailed off at the sight of Ralph's face.
"You were outside? Outside the circle, you never really came in. Didn't you see what we... what they did?"
There was loathing, and at the same time a kind of feverish excitement in his voice.
"Didn't you see, Piggy?"
"Not all that well. I only got one eye now. You ought to know that, Ralph."
Ralph continued to rock to and fro.
"It was an accident," said Piggy suddenly. "That's what it was. An accident."
His voice shrilled again.
"Coming in the dark. He had no business crawling like that out of the dark. He was batty. He asked for it."
He gesticulated widely again.
"It was an accident."
"You didn't see what they did."
"Look, Ralph, we got to forget this. We can't do no good thinking about it, see?"
"I'm frightened of us. I want to go home. Oh, God, I want to go home."
"It was an accident," said Piggy stubbornly. "And that's that."
He touched Ralph's bare shoulder, and Ralph shuddered at the human contact.
"And look, Ralph."
Piggy glanced round quickly, then leaned close.
"Don't let on we was in that dance. Not to Sam Narrick."
"But we were. All of us."
Piggy shook his head.
"Not us till last. They never noticed in the dark. Anyway, you said I was only on the outside."
"So was I," muttered Ralph. "I was on the outside too."
Piggy nodded eagerly.
"That's right, we was on the outside. We never done nothing. We never seen nothing."
Piggy paused, then went on.
"We'll live on our own, the four of us."
"Four of us? We aren't enough to keep the fire burning."
"We'll try. See? I lit it."
Sam Narrick came dragging a great log out of the forest. They dumped it by the fire and turned to the pool. Ralph jumped to his feet.
"Hi, you two."
The twins checked for a moment, then walked on.
"They're going to bathe, Ralph."
"Better get it over."
The twins were very surprised to see Ralph. They flushed and looked past him into the air.
"Hello. Fancy meeting you, Ralph. We'd just been in the forest to get wood for the fire. We got lost last night."
Ralph examined his toes.
"You got lost after the..."
Piggy cleaned his lens.
"After the feast," said Sam in a stifled voice.
Eric nodded.
"Yes, after the feast." "We left early," said Piggy quickly, "because we were tired." "So did we, very early. We were very tired."
Sam touched a scratch on his forehead and then hurriedly took his hand away. Eric fingered his split lip.
"Yes, we were very tired," repeated Sam. "So we left early. Was it a good..."
The air was heavy with unspoken knowledge. Sam twisted, and the obscene word shot out of him.
"Dance?"
Memory of the dance that none of them had attended shook all four boys convulsively.
"We left early."
When Roger came to the neck of land that joined the Castle Rock to the mainland, he was not surprised to be challenged. He had reckoned during the terrible night on finding at least some of the tribe holding out against the horrors of the island in the safest place. The voice rang out sharply from on high, where the diminishing crags were balanced one on another.
"Halt! Who goes there?"
"Roger."
"Advance, friend."
Roger advanced.
"You can see who I was.
The chief said we've got to challenge everyone."
Roger peered up.
"You couldn't stop me coming if I wanted."
"Couldn't I? Climb up and see."
Roger clambered up the ladder-like cliff.
"Look at this."
A log had been jammed under the topmost rock, and another lever under that. Robert leaned slightly on the lever, and the rock groaned. A full effort would send the rock thundering down to the neck of land. Roger admired.
"He's a proper chief, isn't he?"
Robert nodded.
"He's going to take us hunting."
He jerked his head in the direction of the distant shelters, where a thread of white smoke climbed up the sky. Roger, sitting on the very edge of the cliff, looked somberly back at the island as he worked with his fingers at a loose tooth. His gaze settled on the top of the distant mountain, and Robert changed the unspoken subject.
He's going to beat Wilfred.
What for? Robert shook his head doubtfully.
I don't know. He didn't say.
He got angry and made us tie Wilfred up.
He's been... He giggled excitedly. He's been tied for hours, waiting.
But didn't the chief say why?
I never heard him.
Sitting on the tremendous rocks in the torrid sun, Roger received this news as an illumination. He ceased to work at his tooth and sat still, assimilating the possibilities of irresponsible authority. Then, without another word, he climbed down the back of the rocks towards the cave and the rest of the tribe. The chief was sitting there, naked to the waist, his face blocked out in white and red. The tribe lay in a semicircle before him. The newly beaten and untied Wilfred was sniffing noisily in the background. Roger squatted with the rest.
"Tomorrow," went on the chief, "we shall hunt again."
He pointed at this savage and that with his spear.
"Some of you will stay here to improve the cave and defend the gate. I shall take a few hunters with me and bring back meat. The defenders of the gate will see that the others don't sneak in."
A savage raised his hand, and the chief turned a bleak, painted face towards him.
"Why should they try to sneak in, chief?"
The chief was vague but earnest.
"They will. They'll try to spoil things we do. So the watchers at the gate must be careful." And then
the chief paused. They saw a triangle of startling pink dart out, pass along his lips, and vanish again.
"And then the beast might try to come in. You remember how he crawled?"
The semicircle shuddered and muttered in agreement.
"He came disguised. He may come again, even though we gave him the head of our kill to eat. So watch and be careful."
Stanley lifted his forearm off the rock and held up an interrogative finger.
"Well, but didn't we...
He squirmed and looked down.
"No."
In the silence that followed, each savage flinched away from his individual memory.
"No. How could we kill it?"
Half relieved, half daunted by the implication of further terrors, the savages murmured again.
"So leave the mountain alone," said the chief solemnly, "and give it the head if you go hunting."
Stanley flicked his finger again.
"I expect the beast disguised itself."
"Perhaps,"
said the chief. A theological speculation presented itself.
"We'd better keep on the right side of him anyhow. You can't tell what he might do."
The tribe considered this, and then was shaken as if by a flow of wind. The chief saw the effect of his words and stood abruptly.
"But tomorrow we'll hunt, and when we've got meat, we'll have a feast."
Bill put up his hand.
"Chief?"
"Yes?"
"What'll we use for lighting the fire?"
The chief's blush was hidden by the white and red clay. Into his uncertain silence, the tribe spilled their murmur once more. Then the chief held up his hand.
"We shall take fire from the others. Tomorrow we'll hunt and get meat. Tonight I'll go along with two hunters. Who'll come?"
Morris and Roger put up their hands.
"Morris?"
"Yes, chief."
"Where was their fire?"
"Back at the old place by the fire rock."
The chief nodded.
"The rest of you can go to sleep as soon as the sun sets. But us three, Morris, Roger and me, we've got work to do. We'll leave just before sunset."
Morris put up his hand.
"But what happens if we meet..."
The chief waved his objection aside.
"We'll keep along by the sands. Then if he comes, we'll do our dance again."
"Only the three of us?"
Again the murmur swelled and died away. Piggy handed Ralph his glasses, and waited to receive back his sight. The wood was damp, and this was the third time they had lighted it. Ralph stood back, speaking to himself. We don't want another night without fire. He looked round guiltily at the three boys standing by. This was the first time he had admitted the double function of the fire. Certainly one was to send up a beckoning column of smoke, but the other was to be a hearth now, and a comfort until they slept. Eric breathed on the wood till it glowed and sent out a little flame. A billow of white and yellow smoke reeked up. Piggy took back his glasses and looked at the smoke with pleasure.
If only we could make a radio, or a plane, or a boat.
Ralph dredged in his fading knowledge of the world.
We might get taken prisoner by the Reds.
Eric pushed back his hair. They'd be better than... He would not name people, and Sam finished the sentence for him by nodding along the beach. Ralph remembered the ungainly figure on a parachute. He said something about a dead man. He flushed painfully at this admission that he had been present at the dance. He made urging motions at the smoke with his body. Don't stop, go on up.
Smoke's getting thinner.
We need more wood already, even when it's wet.
My asthma!
The response was mechanical. Sucks to your asthma.
If I pull logs about, I get my asthma bad. I wish I didn't, Ralph, but there it is.
The three boys went into the forest and fetched armfuls of rotten wood. Once more the smoke rose, yellow and thick. Let's get something to eat. Together they went to the fruit trees, carrying their spears, saying little, cramming in haste. When they came out of the forest again, the sun was setting, and only embers glowed in the fire, and there was no smoke.
I can't carry any more wood, said Eric. I'm tired.
Ralph cleared his throat.
We kept the fire going up there.
Up there it was small, but this has got to be a big one.
Ralph carried a fragment to the fire, and watched the smoke that drifted into the dusk.
We've got to keep it going.
Eric flung himself down.
I'm too tired. And what's the good?
Eric, cried Ralph in a shocked voice, don't talk like that. Sam knelt by Eric.
Well, what is the good?
Ralph tried indignantly to remember. There was something good about a fire. Something overwhelmingly good.
Ralph's told you often enough, said Piggy moodily. How else are we going to be rescued?
Of course. If we don't make smoke...
He squatted before them in the crowding dusk. Don't you understand? What's the good of wishing for radios and boats? He held out his hand and twisted the fingers into a fist.
There's only one thing we can do to get out of this mess. Anyone can play at hunting. Anyone can get us meat.
He looked from face to face. Then, at the moment of greatest passion and conviction, that curtain flapped in his head, and he forgot what he had been driving at. He knelt there, his fist clenched, gazing solemnly from one to the other. Then the curtain whisked back.
Oh, yes. So we've got to make smoke, and more smoke.
But we can't keep it going. Look at that.
The fire was dying on them. Two to mind the fire, said Ralph, half to himself.
That's 12 hours a day. We can't get any more wood, Ralph. Not in the dark. Not at night.
We can light it every morning, said Piggy. Nobody ain't going to see smoke in the dark.
Sam nodded vigorously.
It was different when the fire was up there.
Ralph stood up, feeling curiously defenceless with the darkness pressing in. Let the fire go, then, for tonight. He led the way to the first shelter, which still stood, though battered. The bed leaves lay within, dry and noisy to the touch. In the next shelter, a little un was talking in his sleep. The four big uns crept into the shelter and burrowed under the leaves. The twins lay together, and Ralph and Piggy at the other end. For a while there was the continual creak and rustle of leaves as they tried for comfort. Piggy.
Yeah?
All right.
Suppose so.
At length, save for an occasional rustle, the shelter was silent. An oblong of blackness, relieved with brilliant spangles, hung before them, and there was the hollow sound of surf on the reef. Ralph settled himself for his nightly game of supposing. Supposing they could be transported home by jet. Then before morning they would land at that big airfield in Wiltshire. They would go by car. No, for things to be perfect, they would go by train. All the way down to Devon. And take that cottage again. Then at the foot of the garden the wild ponies would come and look over the wall. Ralph turned restlessly in the leaves. Dartmoor was wild, and so were the ponies. But the attraction of wildness had gone. His mind skated to a consideration of a tamed town where savagery could not set foot. What could be safer than the bus centre, with its lamps and wheels? All at once Ralph was dancing round a lamp standard. There was a bus crawling out of the bus station. A strange bus.
Ralph! Ralph!
What is it?
Don't make a noise like that!
Sorry. From the darkness at the further end of the shelter came a dreadful moaning, and they shattered the leaves in their fear. Sam and Eric, locked in an embrace, were fighting each other.
Sam! Sam! Hey, Eric!
Presently all was quiet again. Piggy spoke softly to Ralph.
We gotta get out of this.
What do you mean?
Get rescued.
For the first time that day, and despite the crowding blackness, Ralph sniggered.
I mean it,
whispered Piggy.
If we don't get home soon, we'll be balmy.
Round the bend.
Bomb happy. Crackers.
Ralph pushed the damp tendrils of hair out of his eyes.
You write a letter to your auntie.
Piggy considered this solemnly.
I don't know where she is now. And I haven't got an envelope and a stamp. And there isn't a pillar box. Or a postman.
The success of his tiny joke overcame Ralph. His sniggers became uncontrollable. His body jumped and twitched. Piggy rebuked him with dignity.
I haven't said anything all that funny.
Ralph continued to snigger, though his chest hurt. His twitchings exhausted him till he lay breathless and woebegone, waiting for the next spasm. During one of these pauses, he was ambushed by sleep.
Ralph, you've been making a noise again. Do be quiet, Ralph, because...
Ralph heaved over among the leaves. He had reason to be thankful that his dream was broken, for the bus had been nearer and more distinct.
Why, because? Be quiet and listen.
Ralph lay down carefully, to the accompaniment of a long sigh from the leaves. Eric moaned something, and then lay still. The darkness, save for the useless oblong of stars, was blanket thick.
I can't hear anything.
There's something moving outside.
Ralph's head prickled. The sound of his blood drowned all else, and then subsided.
I still can't hear anything.
Listen. Listen for a long time.
Quite clearly and emphatically, and only a yard or so away from the back of the shelter, a stick cracked. The blood roared again in Ralph's ears. Confused images chased each other through his mind. A composite of these things was prowling round the shelters. He could feel Piggy's head against his shoulder and the convulsive grip of a hand.
Ralph! Ralph! Shut up and listen.
Desperately, Ralph prayed that the beast would prefer little ones. A voice whispered horribly outside.
Piggy! Piggy! It's come,
gasped Piggy.
It's real.
He clung to Ralph and reached to get his breath.
Piggy! Come out the side. I want you, Piggy.
Ralph's mouth was against Piggy's ear.
Don't say anything.
Piggy! Where are you, Piggy?
Something brushed against the back of the shelter. Piggy kept still for a moment. Then he had his asthma. He arched his back and crashed among the leaves with his legs. Ralph rolled away from him. Then there was a vicious snarling in the mouth of the shelter and the plunge and thump of living things. Someone tripped over Ralph, and Piggy's corner became a complication of snarls and crashes and flying limbs. Ralph hit out. Then he and what seemed like a dozen others were rolling over and over, hitting, biting, scratching. He was torn and jolted, found fingers in his mouth and bit them. A fist withdrew and came back like a piston, so that the whole shelter exploded into light. Ralph twisted sideways on top of a writhing body and felt hot breath on his cheek. He began to pound the mouth below him, using his clenched fist as a hammer. He hit with more and more passionate hysteria as the face became slippery. A knee jerked up between his legs, and he fell sideways, busying himself with his pain, and the fight rolled over him. Then the shelter collapsed with smothering finality, and the anonymous shapes fought their way out and through. Dark figures drew themselves out of the wreckage and flitted away, till the screams of the little ones and Piggy's gasps were once more audible. Ralph called out in a quavering voice, "All you little ones, go to sleep. We've had a fight with the others. Now go to sleep." Sam Nerick came close and peered at Ralph. "Are you two all right?"
"I think so. I got busted."
"So did I. How's Piggy?"
They hauled Piggy clear of the wreckage and leaned him against a tree. The night was cool and purged of immediate terror. Piggy's breathing was a little easier.
"Did you get hurt, Piggy?"
"Not much."
"That was Jack and his hunters," said Ralph bitterly.
"Why can't they leave us alone?"
"We gave them something to think about," said Sam.
Honesty compelled him to go on.
"At least you did. I got mixed up with myself in a corner."
"I gave one of them what for," said Ralph. "I smashed him up all right. He won't want to come and fight us again in a hurry."
"So did I," said Eric.
"When I woke up, one was kicking me in the face. I got an awful bloody face, I think, Ralph. But I did him in the end."
"What did you do?"
"I got my knee up," said Eric, with a simple pride. "And I hit him with it in the pills. You should have heard him holler. He won't come back in a hurry either. So we didn't do too badly."
Ralph moved suddenly in the dark. But then he heard Eric working at his mouth.
"What's the matter?"
"Just a tooth loose."
Piggy drew up his legs.
"You all right, Piggy?" "I thought they wanted the conch."
Ralph trotted down the pale beach and jumped onto the platform. The conch still glimmered by the chief's seat. He gazed for a moment or two, then went back to Piggy.
"They didn't take the conch."
"I know. They didn't come for the conch. They came for something else. Ralph, what am I going to do?"
Far off along the bow stave of beach, three figures trotted towards the castle rock. They kept away from the forest and down by the water. Occasionally they sang softly. Occasionally they turned cartwheels down by the moving streak of phosphorescence. The chief led them, trotting steadily, exulting in his achievement. He was a chief now, in truth, and he made stabbing motions with his spear. From his left hand dangled Piggy's broken glasses. End of Disc 5. Lord of the Flies, Disc 6. Chapter 11. Castle Rock. In the short chill of dawn, the four boys gathered round the black smudge where the fire had been, while Ralph knelt and blew. Grey, feathery ashes scurried hither and thither at his breath, but no spark shone among them. The twins watched anxiously, and Piggy sat expressionless behind the luminous wall of his myopia. Ralph continued to blow till his ears were singing with the effort, but then the first breeze of dawn took the job off his hands and blinded him with ashes. He squatted back, swore, and rubbed water out of his eyes. No use. Eric looked down at him through a mask of dried blood. Piggy peered in the general direction of Ralph.
Course it's no use, Ralph. Now we got no fire.
Ralph brought his face within a couple of feet of Piggy's. Can you see me?
A bit.
Ralph allowed the swollen flap of his cheek to close his eye again.
They've got our fire!
Rage shrilled in his voice.
They stole it! That's them, said Piggy. They blinded me, see? That's Jack Merridew. You call an assembly, Ralph. We've got to decide what to do.
An assembly for only us?
It's all we got. Sam, let me hold on to you.
They went towards the platform.
Blow the conch, said Piggy. Blow as loud as you can.
The forest re-echoed, and birds lifted, crying out of the treetops, as on that first morning ages ago. Both ways the beach was deserted. Some little ones came from the shelters. Ralph sat down on the polished trunk, and the three others stood before him. He nodded, and Sam Nerick sat down on the right. Ralph pushed the conch into Piggy's hands. He held the shining thing carefully and blinked at Ralph. Go on, then.
I just take the conch to say this. I can't see no more, and I got to get my glasses back. Awful things has been done on this island. I voted for you for chief. He's the only one who ever got anything done. So now you speak, Ralph, and tell us what you're else.
Piggy broke off, snivelling. Ralph took back the conch as he sat down.
Just an ordinary fire. You'd think we could do that, wouldn't you? Just a smoke signal so we can be rescued. Are we savages or what? Only now there's no signal going up. Ships may be passing. Do you remember how he went hunting and the fire went out and a ship passed by? And they all think he's best as chief. Then there was... Well, that's his fault, too. If it hadn't been for him, it would never have happened. Now Piggy can't see. And they came, stealing...
Ralph's voice ran up.
At night, in darkness, and stole our fire. They stole it. We'd have given them fire if they'd asked, but they stole it. And the signal's out, and we can't ever be rescued. Don't you see what I mean? We'd have given them fire for themselves, only they stole it.
He paused lamely as the curtain flickered in his brain. Piggy held out his hands for the conch.
What are you going to do, Ralph? This is just talk without deciding. I want my glasses.
I'm trying to think. Supposing we go looking like we used to, washed and hairbrushed. After all, we aren't savages, really. And being rescued isn't a game. He opened the flap of his cheek and looked at the twins.
We could smarten up a bit and then go.
We ought to take spears, said Sam.
Even Piggy, because we may need them. You haven't got the conch.
Piggy held up the shell.
You can take spears if you want, but I shan't. What's the good? I'll have to be led like a dog anyhow. Yes, laugh. Go on, laugh. There's them on this island as would laugh at anything. And what happened? What's grown-ups going to think? Young Simon was murdered. And there was that other kid what had a mark on his face. Who's seen him since we first come here?
Piggy, stop a minute.
I got the conch. I'm going to that Jack Merridew and tell him. I am.
You'll get hurt.
What can he do more than he has? I'll tell him what's what. You let me carry the conch, Ralph. I'll show him the one thing he hasn't got.
Piggy paused for a moment and peered round at the dim figures. The shape of the old assembly, trodden in the grass, listened to him.
I'm going to him with this conch in my hands. I'm going to hold it out. Look, I'm going to say, you're stronger than I am and you haven't got asthma. You can see, I'm going to say, and with both eyes. But I don't ask for my glasses back, not as a favour. I don't ask you to be a sport, I'll say. Not because you're strong, but because what's right's right. Give me my glasses, I'm going to say. You got to!
Piggy ended, flushed and trembling. He pushed the conch quickly into Ralph's hands, as though in a hurry to be rid of it. and wiped the tears from his eyes. The green light was gentle about them, and the conch lay at Ralph's feet, fragile and white. A single drop of water that had escaped Piggy's fingers now flashed on the delicate curve, like a star. At last Ralph sat up straight and drew back his hair.
All right. I mean, you can try if you like. We'll go with you.
He'll be painted,
said Sam timidly.
You know how he'll be. He won't think much of us. If he gets waxy, we've had it.
Ralph scowled at Sam. Dimly he remembered something that Simon had said to him once, by the rocks.
Don't be silly, he said. And then he added quickly, let's go.
He held out the conch to Piggy, who flushed, this time with pride.
You must carry it.
When we're ready, I'll carry it.
Piggy sought in his mind for words to convey his passionate willingness to carry the conch against all odds.
I don't mind. I'll be glad, Ralph. Only I'll have to be led.
Ralph put the conch back on the shining log. We better eat, and then get ready. They made their way to the devastated fruit trees. Piggy was helped to his food and found some by touch. While they ate, Ralph thought of the afternoon.
We'll be like we were.
We'll wash. Sam gulped down a mouthful and protested.
But we bathe every day.
Ralph looked at the filthy objects before him and sighed.
We ought to comb our hair, and it's too long. I've got both socks left in the shelter, said Eric, so we could pull them over our heads like caps, sort of.
We could find some stuff, said Piggy, and tie your hair back.
Like a girl?
No, of course not.
Then we must go as we are, said Ralph, and they won't be any better. Eric made a detaining gesture.
But they'll be painted. You know how it is.
The others nodded. They understood only too well the liberation into savagery that the concealing paint brought.
Well, we won't be painted, said Ralph, because we aren't savages.
Sam and Eric looked at each other.
All the same, Ralph shouted, no paint.
He tried to remember. Smoke, he said. We want smoke. He turned on the twins fiercely.
I said, smoke. We've got to have smoke.
There was silence, except for the multitudinous murmur of the bees. At last Piggy spoke kindly.
Course we have, because the smoke's a signal, and we can't be rescued if we don't have smoke.
I knew that, shouted Ralph.
He pulled his arm away from Piggy.
Are you suggesting I'm just saying what you always say? Said Piggy hastily. I thought for a moment.
I hadn't, said Ralph loudly. I knew all the time. I hadn't forgotten.
Piggy nodded propitiatingly.
You're chief, Ralph. You remember everything.
I hadn't forgotten.
Course not.
The twins were examining Ralph curiously, as though they were seeing him for the first time. They set off along the beach in formation. Ralph went first, limping a little, his spear carried over one shoulder. He saw things partially through the tremble of the heat haze over the flashing sands and his own long hair and injuries. Behind him came the twins, worried now for a while, but full of unquenchable vitality. They said little, but trailed the butts of their wooden spears. For Piggy had found that, looking down, shielding his tired sight from the sun, he could just see these moving along the sand. He walked between the trailing butts, therefore, the conch held carefully between his two hands. The boys made a compact little group that moved over the beach, four plate-like shadows dancing and mingling beneath them. There was no sign left of the storm, and the beach was swept clean like a blade that has been scoured. The sky and the mountain were at an immense distance, shimmering in the heat, and the reef was lifted by mirage, floating in a kind of silver pool halfway up the sky. They passed the place where the tribe had danced. The charred sticks still lay on the rocks where the rain had quenched them, but the sand by the water was smooth again. They passed this in silence. No one doubted that the tribe would be found at Castle Rock, and when they came in sight of it, they stopped with one accord. The densest tangle on the island, a mass of twisted stems, black and green and impenetrable, lay on their left, and tall grass swayed before them. Now Ralph went forward. Here was the crushed grass where they had all lain when he had gone to prospect. There was the neck of land, the ledge skirting the rock. Up there were the red pinnacles. Sam touched his arm.
Smoke.
There was a tiny smudge of smoke wavering into the air on the other side of the rock. Some fire, I don't think. Ralph turned. What are we hiding for? He stepped through the screen of grass onto the little open space that led to the narrow neck. You two follow behind. I'll go first, then Piggy a pace behind me. Keep your spears ready. Piggy peered anxiously into the luminous veil that hung between him and the world.
Is it safe? Ain't there a cliff? I can hear the sea.
You keep right close to me. Ralph moved forward onto the neck. He kicked a stone, and it bounded into the water. Then the sea sucked down, revealing a red, weedy square 40 feet beneath Ralph's left arm.
Am I safe?
Quavered Piggy.
I feel awful.
High above them, from the pinnacles, came a sudden shout, and then an imitation war cry that was answered by a dozen voices from behind the rock. Give me the conch, and stay still.
Halt! Who goes there?
Ralph bent back his head and glimpsed Roger's dark face at the top.
You can see who I am, he shouted. Stop being silly!
He put the conch to his lips and began to blow. Savages appeared, painted out of recognition, edging round the ledge towards the neck. They carried spears and disposed themselves to defend the entrance. Ralph went on blowing and ignored Piggy's terrors. Roger was shouting,
You mind out, see?
At length Ralph took his lips away and paused to get his breath back. His first words were a gasp, but audible,
Calling an assembly.
The savages guarding the neck muttered among themselves, but made no motion. Ralph walked forward a couple of steps. A voice whispered urgently behind him,
Don't leave me, Ralph!
You kneel down, said Ralph sideways, and wait till I come back. He stood halfway along the neck and gazed at the savages intently. Freed by the paint, they had tied their hair back and were more comfortable than he was. Ralph made a resolution to tie his own back afterwards. Indeed, he felt like telling them to wait and doing it there and then, but that was impossible. The savages sniggered a bit, and one gestured at Ralph with his spear. High above, Roger took his hands off the lever and leaned out to see what was going on. The boys on the neck stood in a pool of their own shadow, diminished to shaggy heads. Piggy crouched, his back shapeless as a sack.
I'm calling an assembly.
Silence. Roger took up a small stone and flung it between the twins, aiming to miss. They started, and Sam only just kept his footing. Some source of power began to pulse in Roger's body. Ralph spoke again, loudly.
I'm calling an assembly.
He ran his eye over them. Where's Jack? The group of boys stirred and consulted. A painted face spoke with the voice of Robert.
He's hunting, and he said we weren't to let you in.
I've come to see you about the fire, said Ralph, and about Piggy's specs.
The group in front of him shifted, and laughter shivered outwards from among them, light, excited laughter that went echoing among the tall rocks. A voice spoke from behind Ralph.
What do you want?
The twins made a bolt past Ralph and got between him and the entry. He turned quickly. Jack, identifiable by personality and red hair, was advancing from the forest. A hunter crouched on either side. All three were masked in black and green. Behind them on the grass, the headless and paunched body of a sow lay where they had dropped it. Piggy wailed,
"Ralph, don't leave me!"
With Lou